So let's just start by tuning within. And I'll use these different bells. And just sort of listen to the sound. Let it resonate in your body. Let it move to wherever you need opening, healing, balance. Let the awareness open up. And let the sound just take you deeper and deeper into the breath. We're going to have a little activity here. Hello. Is that comfortable for you, or do you want to pull on the floor?
Kind of hold that.
Okay. Thanks.
Here.
Oh my God! Oh, well, welcome.
I've been back a couple of months in the United States.
Oh my gosh, how wonderful. I'll have to hear about your adventure. You look fabulous. It must have been good. It must have suited you very well. Leo. Come on. Anyone else coming? Leah. He has. He's getting better. Come on, let's go down. Go down. Go down. Cabrilla, can you go get his polka dotted scarf behind the in that entertainment center? He it sometimes signals to him that company's here and he needs to behave differently. Thank you. Good boy, this is your magic scarf. Yeah, there you go. So we were just listening to the bells, so we're going to continue to do that for a little bit. Heather, can you hear this back there?
I can.
Okay. So let the sound enter you. The history of this bowl is that it's made of the 7 special metals that are used for healing in the Tibetan medicine culture. And this bowl itself has come from Tibet. So let the medicine within it travel on the current of the breath. Thank you. guest arriving.
Take my seat.
Yeah. Aviva sees you. Want to maybe get a chair from the kitchen, huh?
Oh, I'm sacrificing my seat. I'll sit back.
Well, or you can bring a chair from the kitchen in closer if you'd like. Could you scooch over a bit, Beth, and let Habiba Z's come? Yeah. There you go. Just leave it on the floor, it's fine. So you'll notice there have been, we've been trying to start this class for a while today, and that's a good sign. To me, it means something really great is going to happen in this class, God willing, huh? Those things that can be used as distractions or interruptions or obstacles are always a way of clearing, you know, so changing the view about how those things occur and what a blessing comes with those is a way to change the view about anything that we see as being an obstacle in our path. It's really a blessing. So we'll take all of that, including that motorcycle getting charged up out there is what our teachers tell us, that there are opportunities to go deeper into the practice, and I found that true. So with palms pressed together, let us say, those of us that know the invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan, we will say that. Those that don't have it and would like the words, I can send those to you via email. And you may also just make an invocation silently within your heart to invoke your inspiration, your spiritual guides on your path, the illuminated souls that have guided you. So we say, toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now, someone has a little phone or something that's beeping. Can someone turn that off, whoever that is? I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a call is there and you're not aware of it, but
low battery.
Yes.
That sounds to me like the sound that happens when you record something.
No, it's a phone. Yeah. And mine does that when my battery's low, so I thought it was that, or calls come in and trying to make you aware. So today we're going to continue with the teachings on the culture of breath. And we've been on this course of study for some time. In fact, Virginia's gone to China and back, and we're still on this study. But for me, these seem to be core and central to the teachings, certainly in Sufism, but in any deep inner path, one must understand and master the culture of the breath. I mean, it's our very life force. We can live without food, we can live without water for a certain period of time, but breath not for very long. And I think that most of us haven't learned to really master it. And so within the teachings, the bodies of the teachings of Hazrat Anayat Khan, he's given quite elaborate instructions, both in terms of practice, but in terms of oral instructions. And there are some probably in the room that have studied these teachings known as the Gathas. And in the section of the Gathas, there's the part called Pasi Anfas, which is on the study of the breath. And yet, the more and more I study those teachings, which may seem sort of at the surface just a narrative, I can see that he, you know, when I think about when Hazrat Anayat Khan was giving those teachings, they were often during summer school when he was instructing his students. And now they've been compiled in these texts, and we've sort of lost context. But if we take it back to context, we can start to see that he was giving oral instructions. And what we don't know, because they were extracted and kept more in the esoteric realm to only be given as oral instructions, at specific times for specific purposes, those have been extracted. And they're not public, whereas the narratives are public. So for me, it becomes a real crucial study. And anyone that studied yoga or any other kind of system knows how important the breath is. And yet, we breathe in and we breathe out, and sometimes we're not conscious of that breath. And for the Sufis, as well as for many others, I certainly know this is true of the Buddhists, one is trying to be, part of the path is to be as conscious as one can be at each breath. It's kind of awakening. So as I say, we started this course of study probably a year and a half ago, and we've been focusing on the breath ever since. And we haven't gotten very far because we're just doing one teaching a month and along with practices. So I'm going to read just a few phrases from past teachings, some key features of the past few months. And I realize that I may need my reading glasses. Yeah, I'm sorry, I do. My eyes are a little tired today.
Can I get them for you?
Well, they're downstairs in the closet in my beige handbag that I got in India. And they're at the bottom. They're in a little black case. Thank you. So I'll read a few things while Kapriya is going to get the glasses. Hazrat Anayat Khan says, as the mechanism of the body depends upon breath for its subsistence, so as well for its health, so the breath is important in sustaining the mind and keeping its work regular. So the breath is important in sustaining the mind and keeping its work regular. All diseases and delusions are caused by wrong breathing. People who become impulsive show irritability in nature, who become impatient at times, who get fits of anger, passion, or laughter, who get spells of tears, all have irregularity of breathing as the cause of all of this. Shortness of breath gives man impatience, lack of endurance, and irregularity of the rhythm of breath gives man confusion and makes him inclined to be easily upset. Can everyone hear that? So if we're feeling impatient, Hasaradhanayak Khan saying it's shortness of breath, that maybe we're not getting a full breath. And I'm starting to understand this, and maybe some of you as well, as it becomes a flow of energy in the body. And if for some reason one is short of breath, you can imagine that the flow has gotten very narrow. And when that gets narrow, then the mind gets narrow. When the mind gets narrow, there's impatience. So if you can start to see the connection of breath and the flow of energy that we certainly see in yoga, we see it in Tai Chi, you'll start to understand more and more what he's trying to tell us and indicate to us. It's a kind of inner yoga that he's indicating. It's not just mere breath exercises, but what do they do to the interior being? In Tibetan Buddhism, they talk about channels and drops, that there are literally, and also in yoga, that there are channels, there are meridians through which the energy flows. And the breath helps to develop that inwardly for balance and health, not only of the physical body, but also of the mental realms, emotional realms, and so forth. Can you hear me, Heather?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when one feels impatient, check the breath. Is it short? If it is, lengthen the breath. In the Anapanasa Sutra, the first teaching the Buddha gave to his monks, the first exercise is breathe in and know you're breathing in. Breathe out and know you're breathing out. And the second one is breathe in a short breath and know you're breathing in a short breath. Breathe out a short breath and know you're breathing out a short breath. The third is breathe in a long breath and know you're breathing in a long breath. Breathe out a long breath and know you're breathing out a long breath. Sounds very simple, but it's very important. He's teaching mindfulness of the breath. Shall we try it? So observe your own natural, sort of at this moment, it may not be always your natural, but just notice the condition of your breath right now. And also notice the condition, how are you feeling today? Is there an emotional content there? And just sort of identify that. And it surely will shift over this time together, but just sort of notice what it is right now. And then check in to the mental realm, the mind. What is the condition of the mind? Does it feel clear and vast? Is it concentrated? Is it moving very quickly? Just notice those things. And at the same time, be aware of the breath, because the breath is connected to those things. Going to the instructions of Lord Buddha to his monks, breathe in and know that you're breathing in. And he gave the phrase, actually, breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. And so you can put that phrase on the swing of your breath. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. then the phrase goes to the next stage. Breathing in a short breath. I know I'm breathing in a short breath. Breathing out a short breath. I know I'm breathing out a short breath. Be very conscious and make the breath shorter now. Then the phrase changes. Breathing in a long breath. I know I'm breathing in a long breath. Breathing out a long breath. I know I'm breathing out a long breath. And let the breath become very long. And notice the difference. Totally focused on the breath and the body. Okay. Were you doing it? Pour a little more water in that fountain. It's breathing very hard. It'll soften its breath. I'll just wait a few moments and sort of think about, can you articulate, were you aware of what happened between a short breath and a long breath? Was there something that felt different? Krinagita, do you have a... You're smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, the minute I started breathing shorter, I started feeling more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And the more anxious I felt, I also noticed irritability kind of arising in that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I even, before you started saying the long breath, I started going into the long breath, and it shifted immediately. Because it was bothering me so much, I just...
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I was wondering, too, I'm just posing a question. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that might be also just to a response. I'm kind of seeing, looking at my week this week and how I was in that breath at times this week. But that there might be times when one... The short breath could have a different type of feeling or purpose, too. That part of maybe my feeling of the short breath is related to the nature of the stress of my week and things, too.
Okay, so again, I want to go back to trying to turn everyone's attention to the fact that that breath is doing something to the inner culture, to the inner space. So the answer is yes. The short breath can be used. Think about it. Think about athletes, how they do that. A boxer. They're charging themselves up. They're compressing the energy and then they're releasing it. Or a weightlifter. So sometimes you need the short breath to kind of amp up and then dissipate it. Does that make sense to everyone? These are very important instructions. This isn't just child's play. This is really deep esotericism. And this is something we can use. It's very practical. This isn't like a magic. In a way, it is magic. But if we don't understand it, then it appears as magic. But it's extremely practical. So, yes, yeah, sometimes we need that short breath, you know. And then the long breath, how did that feel? Did other people, first of all, have an experience of a kind of anxiety arise when the breath was short?
Energized.
Energized.
Okay. Like a fire. And then the long breath was like water, just calm and peaceful and just easy, mellow.
Okay. There was stress involved just in trying to say and bringing in a short breath.
Well,
get it all in and
okay.
Still make a short breath.
Well, this is an example of too many tasks that need to be complete in one in a short period of time, right. You see.
It wasn't enough time to say all of that and actually do a short breath.
Yeah.
So that was frustrating.
Yeah. Okay.
It reminded me of, you know, my little dog who'd been poisoned, and when he was a little sick. He was, and I know that he's lost a lot of blood, and his heart couldn't get the oxygen and around it fast enough, like when he was normal. So I associated it when you said to go do the short breath, that it was a way that he had of his body was working it to get him what he needed when he needed it.
Yeah.
And when he got better, then the breath
got shorter.
Normally.
Longer. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was like a relief. Okay, that's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's over.
Right. So just being aware of the breath, you notice the condition of the mind, you can analyze it, you can alter it by using the breath. Always. Always. But we have to be mindful of it and not caught up in the, you know, like in these waves, like, you know, we're at the seashore and we're in the undercurrent and we can't get up. Life can do it. But if we're mindful of the breath, we can all, now Leo, it's enough. Thank you. So, shortness of breath gives man impatience, lack of endurance. An irregularity of the rhythm of the breath gives man confusion and makes him inclined to be easily upset. So now there are two things. The depth, the length, the breadth of the breath, or the rhythm of the breath. Because we see that in people that they're, you know, sometimes when they're talking even, they kind of have that... You know, they can't even get a complete sentence out before they're starting their next one. You know, that's an irregularity of breath. Haven't you experienced that with people, how they speak? And, you know, there's no rhythm there. And so rhythm is essential. And usually when that happens, people are sort of confused and they're, you know, trying to explain something, but it lacks clarity. Now, what is also important to remember, and he mentions it somewhere else in prior teachings, is that one who is mindful of their breath can be like, you know, can have a positive influence. So if we're mindful of the current of our breath and we're stable in that breath, it can actually bring other people into balance. Not imposing anything, but just very steady. An interesting example from my own life, this week I was meeting for the first time with students, and I have been teaching for like 8 months. And I was just sitting there, and this student walks in, we're all sharing, and he goes, "You meditate, don't you?" And I said, "What?" He said, you meditate, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I just knew as soon as I walked in this room, I could just tell from the way you were sitting and breathing." I thought that was very perceptive.
I'd say.
You know, he's a student that has his sister. He talked about his relationship with this sister who has Down syndrome. And he's very close to her, a younger sister. But he's not aware of it, but he's observing things in a way that is pretty insightful, I think. I think it must be coming also from his interaction with this child that probably, I mean, the Down syndrome children are so, I mean, they're like angels, you know, if you've met them, had any experience with it. And he even said that, if I could be as sweet and as kind and as open as my sister, I'd be a really good person. That was a very sweet thing for him to say. But also someone asked me today, you know, not today, but this week, about how does one know one's own rhythm, and how does one know if one's being influenced by somebody else's rhythm? And, you know, how do you know that? You only know it through practicing and becoming very present to the breath. And when all of a sudden your rhythm gets shifted, you can be assured it's coming from an outside influence. But only if you're aware. And we've all had that experience. Didn't you leave the house and one day and you're just as happy as a lark, and for no apparent reason, no conversation, no anything, you just, something happens, you shift, you start to worry, or you feel agitated, or, you know, some negativity seems to enter your mind. Has that never happened to anyone else?
Yeah.
It happens,
wow.
Yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think that is? Something's come. I say again and again, we're always dealing in the world of worlds of projection or reflection. We receive impressions that are projected upon us, and if we don't know who we are, we think it's us. Or it's a reflection. Something's coming from within our hearts and minds that is reflecting something to us, and we see it externally, and we have to know the difference between. If it's a reflection that's arising from within or a projection that's coming from without. And the breath, I think, can help us learn that. Does that make sense to people? So reoccurring themes in one's life that maybe take on different faces, different places, different circumstances, one could consider as reflections. And one can work with clarifying them. Hasrat and Ayat Khan's given us purification breaths. The reason one does those every single day is to purify the inner culture, to cleanse it of all impressions. And those impressions can be from long ago, or they can be from yesterday or last minute. Very important. And we'll do those in a minute. So hang on to your hat. Okay. What we need is training of the breath. By doing so, our body and our mind become repaired. When the body and mind is so repaired, one will find no more disagreeableness in their nature. And I also will say, one won't be so irritated by disagreeableness in other people's natures. One will develop a sympathy, having worked on oneself. You see, we feel that we know the struggle that we have to do within our own work and what we have to go through to repair that. And it helps us develop a sympathy and tolerance for others that haven't had the beauty of meeting teachings or teachers that can share this with them. Regular and rhythmic breathing gives health to body and mind both. Inspiration comes from above. Or I also think it comes from within. But as a light, it is the work of the mind to receive it. If the mind is not ready to receive it, the inspiration will come, but it will not be realized. right breathing makes the mind vibrate. It's extraordinary to think about that. And the mind isn't just here or here. The mind is, it's throughout. I mean, every cell is infused with consciousness. All that vibrates more is more living. The importance of breath in the body is like the influence of the weather in the world. As the body and mind act and react to one another, so the influence of the breath takes the chief place in directing mind and body both. And then he gives us some ideas about that. Slow breath. Well, let's try it. See what you discover. So sitting up. And you could use the phrase, like Lord Buddha gave, breathing in a slow breath. I know I'm breathing in a slow breath. And breathing out a slow breath. I know I'm breathing out a slow breath. Make the breath very slow. Did you notice a quality of mind arise? Or how did that feel?
Serene.
Other people?
Empowering and control.
Earth. Okay.
Tranquil.
Nayak Khan says, slow breath gives tranquility to the mind, and all the creative faculties of mind have scope of work given by this rhythm. So when one's involved in a creative endeavor or has the need for tranquility, slow the breath down. It's just that simple. You might have been in the earth breath. Spreading breath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he says a moderate breath. So one that sort of has a metered rhythm but isn't neither slow nor quick. Just sort of a normal breath. Let's try that and see what happens. There's a little more vigor to it than a slow breath, and yet it's not a quick, rapid breath. Thank you. we'll do it to a rhythm. I'll count in four and we'll breathe out six, okay? In, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, five, six. In, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, five, six. In, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, five, six. In, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, five, six.